What we wanted to do at this meeting here was kind of provide some background so we can all get on the same page, or at least have a common understanding as we move forward. And to help us with that, we have Becky Hill, who's Director of Policy and Research for the Arizona Chamber Foundation. It's going to help us kind of provide some kind of historical context for how we got here with charters. And please feel free, board members and technical review committee members, if there's questions of Becky, we'll just kind of go, you know, flow with it. So if you have a question, please, you know, feel free to ask. And we'll turn it over to Becky.
All right, great. So real quickly, good morning, everyone. Originally, Lisa Keegan was asked to do this presentation, and obviously I know Lisa Keegan, but wanted to give you just a real quick kind of snapshot of the history around charter schools, and specifically kind of the early days. How did we get charter schools? What was the thinking and philosophy behind that? Who supported them? Just as some brain food to help you think about the future of charter schools and charter school regulations. So if at any point, again, this is not a technical presentation, so I intentionally left out a lot of references to what year things passed, but if at some point the actual legal history of the charter school regulation because has some value to you and you have something in-house that you're missing, we'd be happy to get that. So we'll just get started here. 1994 was when Arizona got its first charter school law. It was a coalition of Republicans and Democrats who were really fighting to get this sweeping piece of legislation across the finish line. They were fighting for better outcomes for students as well as community renewal, having safer campuses and having alternatives for families. The original proposal included private choice, but to get the bill over the finish line, they took out vouchers and in the end ended up with the bill that gave Arizona our first charter school law, free open enrollment. We'd had open enrollment since 1980. But it wasn't free either to the student or to the district, and gave us our early version of school report cards as part of the accountability provisions. The early years were really how to grow a movement, how to ensure we had quality but not get in the way of this new idea. There were a lot of unanswered questions, quite frankly, and there were 400 applicants in that first year. The original law capped the number of charter approvals, and so there was obviously a lot of interest in opening charter schools, a lot of pent-up demand in the edupreneurship community, if you will. And what we saw in those early years were educators who struggled with the business side and business folks who struggled with the education innovation side, and there were a lot of high-profile closures, particularly mid-year for those who just hadn't really figured out the financial side of this party. And so because of that, we saw some pretty rapid improvements to the application process, and over time, the Arizona application really became a model for the rest of the country. That being said, there were incremental changes and updates to the charter statute. So one of the first big ones was in 2000, and the only reason I bring this one up is because it was around the business and financial accountability, and it's really the framework for what you have today. And in exchange for this increased regulatory accountability and financial accountability, the caps on charter approvals were removed. And so what you really saw in that era was Arizona's brand of chartering moving forward. We have a lot of independent startups. We certainly have networks in Arizona, but not as many as other states. So these really have a local homegrown Arizona feel, particularly in our low-income neighborhoods. You didn't see networks moving in. And so you have a lot of community leaders and former teachers who started charter schools. And those are some of our best performing charter schools. You saw a lot of families frustrated with gifted education move into accelerated charters and accelerated networks. We talked a little bit already about the homegrown movement, the charter application process. And there was a really intentional effort to grow quality by the charter board, to get away from that perception that charters were low performing, because indeed the purpose and scope of charters in 15181, the overarching statement about what charter schools are to do is to improve student achievement. So improving student achievement, providing alternatives, were the two primary statutory purposes for charter schools, and that is what you oversee today. Because of that, and Andrea was around for a lot of this and a few others in the room, the around 2009-2010, we saw the charter board take on this philosophy that if you aren't performing at least as well as district schools, you aren't providing that real alternative to the community. And that's when we really saw charter quality take off. And this is also around the time when we saw demand take off. So with an improvement in consumer confidence around charter schools, a rapid increase in quality, and parents and families were moving to charter schools in higher and higher numbers. You saw districts respond to this competitive environment, and now you have some districts, name three or four off the top of my head, whose entire school portfolio is a choice portfolio with a different feel for every campus that they have in their district, which is really kind of fun. So 1,000 flowers have bloomed, you know, and then some, 100 flowers have bloomed and then some. So now what? We're home to more than 500 charter schools. Choice is the norm. Most people under the age of 50 think of choice as normal and regular and desired. It's not unusual to them. We have generations of young people who grew up with charter schools in their neighborhood or attended charter schools. And now one fifth of all of our students attend a charter school. Charter schools are outperforming districts, and they're outgrowing them as well in terms of percentage of their overall growth. So I think the message here as you move forward today and over the next year, and even as your term as board members, is think about, be aware of where the charter movement has come from and what the challenges have been, and the scaffolding that has made today possible, the work that has come before you, but really manage your moment. What is happening now? This is no longer a new movement, right? We, as I said before, you have more than 500 charter schools. 20% and growing of the student body is in a charter school. Probably 50% of students are in a school of choice. And I think that really colors the context for what you are doing going forward. How does this create opportunities, but also challenges for equity? We still have stark differences in school quality, and we still have entire communities, entire towns, entire regions that don't have any choice, district choice or charter choice. How does that impact your work here, and how is that part of your mission? And then lastly, the more diverse we are as a state, the stronger our schools. If you look at Arizona's evolution to a minority-majority school system, our outcomes have improved. And we think that's a really important lesson in thinking about the future of education. And the other thing in terms of traditional regulatory configurations, what schools look now, K-2, K-3, 4, 6, 7, 9, 8, 12, these really change how you design schools, but also how you regulate schools. We saw that this last couple of years with the design of A through F, and how does that impact your work here when you can't bundle schools into these traditional buckets when you're thinking about how you regulate them. And so would really leave you with this question of why. Understand why you're here. In 1994, every legislator had a different why. It was school quality, it was school safety. Some people had a theory about government schools. And Lisa, she couldn't be here today, offered her why. For me, the idea has never been that charters are superior to districts. The full-time search we should all be engaged in is how we get the best educators in Arizona to provide us with the best ideas for our students as quickly as possible. And schools of choice give school leaders and schools that flexibility. To date, the more rigid district system hasn't really provided that. And that's starting to break up a little bit because of the choice movement, because of the example that charter schools have provided. So it's always that balance between quality and staying out of the way of those who know what they're doing. And that really gets to what exactly is a charter school. And we see all these kind of dry technical definitions built around an independently operated public school. But the vision for what that needs to be, how that's something more than just a static, dry definition, is really, I think, what has driven the work of the Charter Board in the past and will drive your work going forward. So I think Ashley has pulled some of this for your brainstorming session another time, but really think about the moment that you're in and why. Why charter schools? Why do they matter? And what do you want to see for every student who you are responsible for as a regulator and a nurturer of the school choice and the charter school movement? And so with that, I'd be happy to take any questions or offer any additional insights. I was ased to go fast, Kathy. I hope I stayed in my in my 10 minutes there.
You did fantastic. Okay. I think one of the things that being on this board for a while that has really kind of shocked me is when we've been at just a very few national conferences that mm-hmm. I've had the privilege to go to, and hear what other was happening in other states. And yeah. when you talked about, you know, it being a free choice, you know, I think many times in Arizona, like, we take it for granted,
right.
you know, of what we can do. And when I've talked to folks from other states, it's fascinating, like, you know, how they have, like, the, you know, the enrollment police, you know, that, like, right. go and knock on people's door to make sure they're in the right district. And you know, and the cost if you wanted to go out of district, and you know, those things. And so I think there's a lot of great things. I think you touched on many of them and all of them in the presentation, of I think what makes our environment very unique, and also what makes it great, you know, for not only charter school but district school kids. And in my situation, I have a kid in a district school and a charter school, and they were both the absolute right choices, you know, for our family. And sometimes I think that gets lost in the politics, you know,
sure.
of all of this, but I think that is, to me, because I always thought of Arizona, just you can go wherever you want right. to go, but that's really not the norm. And so I think that's one of the great things that we've done about it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, as we travel the country and go to education conferences, you know, we go to learn new things and to feed our knowledge base and to be challenged as professionals. But really, Arizona is way ahead of most states as it relates to issues around choice. Connecticut, for example, you're fined the first time, but you can be arrested for sending your child to a school outside of their assigned area. It's considered stealing public funds. So it's really kind of heartbreaking. And states come up to us all the time and they ask about open enrollment. It's the number one question we get on the road. And then after that, it's like, how did you grow your charter school movement? How did you grow a high quality charter school movement? Many states are still dealing with quality and equity and access. And we see now that the diversity profile of charter schools is on par with the diversity profile of the district system as a whole. And so in Arizona, you know, some of that has been on purpose. Some of that has been just kind of serendipitous. I think these independent startups that, because networks didn't come to us, we created our own reality, has been a blessing. But it wasn't necessarily in the early days intentional. Mm-hmm. So we just had a lot of these conditions that have led to the reality we have today. But you know, continuous improvement, districts and charters both have challenges, and they have boards who regulate them both at the state and local level, and the work is never done. In closing, we just wanted to say, if you need any support from us, either policy research or data, we have a fully functioning foundation now with a data and policy research team. We have partners all over the country who help us find answers to tough questions. A for Arizona, you already know, they come to every meeting. They're our number one resource for how to do things right. They have school leaders who have figured this out and who are doing things no other schools in the country can do for kids. And we have launched a new communications platform to make sure that there's balance in reporting what's happening in the education system, both district and charter. Not just the challenges, but also the good news and the opportunities.
Great. Do you guys have any questions for Becky? And so just so you guys know, we do have, I think we have a call to the public at the end, but what we want to make this more conversational. So we put the table here. And so if anyone wants to come up and speak to us Ashley says it's okay, we can have a dialogue mm-hmm. back and forth versus call the public where we really can't talk to you. The only thing I would ask is that you would fill out a call the public slip just so Alexis can get it all right in the minutes. But feel free to come to the table, and that'll kind of be my cue that, that you guys might want to have a voice or say something about a presentation or a thought of what we're doing. And I know today is a lot of kind of information, so this will come in handy probably at the next board meeting when we actually start talking about more policy type issues. But throughout the next presentations, anyone is welcome to come up and participate. So, but Becky, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank the Chamber and the Foundation for all your work to put that together for us.